Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Who's hosting us this week? Somebody say something.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Wow.
All right. Welcome back, our family that we love so much. Today we have me and Alyssa and Father Andrew. And if you don't know who me is, I'm sorry. Shayna, that's me. All right, anyway, let's get ourselves started with a quick overview of anything fun that somebody did this weekend. Anything to talk about?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
Yeah.
Plenty. What did I do? I already told you what I did. I guess we're not going to include that. I made cookies at my parents' home, and Valentine's cookies.
But what stood out to you in the cookies? What did you end up creating from a heart?
There's actually more that I didn't tell you guys, but I'll save that for when we're not recording. I made the Sacred Heart out of baked goods, and it was quite good, if I might say.
Then you eat.
That's Catholic culture.
I was
going to
say, did you eat it?
My roommates ate it. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's me.
Father Andrew?
Amongst many other things that happened this weekend, quick life of a priest. I blessed a kindergarten basketball game.
Yes, I saw that.
Saturday morning.
Wow.
Had mass. Did a funeral. Had marriage prep. Lunch with parishioners. Touched up the homily. Confessions. Sunday mass at night. On Saturday. Watched the Blues game. Sunday. Three masses. We had a ministry day. Youth group briefly. But then after that.
Briefly.
I was zonked. I watched the Oscars, and I was inspired by Cynthia Erivo's performance of Stand Up from the, hit movie. I've not even seen it.
Well, yeah. Oscar Harriet. Nominated. I didn't see who won, though. So
that would, it's like a it's not a musical.
I don't think so.
No,
it's just a life of Harriet Tubman.
Parasite won the best movie. Korean. They called it a comedy thriller, and it's also in a foreign language. So there's a lot going on there, but I guess I'm intrigued by that.
Didn't that break some records too? Being just, like the last, that hasn't happened that a foreign movie won
best film, right?
Yeah. That's the extent of my knowledge because I received a notification on my phone, but I didn't watch it.
But Cynthia Erivo's performance was amazing, and I was just introduced to her name last night. So there you go.
Yeah. You haven't listened to it, look it up.
He played it for us about 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, yes. And can I just...
It's very inspirational.
I'll just recount again why I like it so much. Because basically...
He's not talking to us at this point because we just heard all about it.
She's playing Harriet Tubman in this film. Harriet Tubman leading people through the Underground Railroad. But the oppression that blacks, Africans suffered in slavery... at least their music is similar to the oppression that was suffered by the Israelites in their plight in Egypt and their years of slavery, centuries of slavery there. So anyway, this song has all this beautiful imagery of, in some ways, like Moses leading the chosen people out of Egypt. And that just fires up a lot in me. It gets me really excited. So Harriet Tubman. She's a hero. Black History Month, February.
That's what I was going to say. What a great time to have such a great inspiration.
Yeah.
Let's see. For me, I think my favorite part was going to 6:30 a.m. Mass and listening to Father Andrew's homily.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
I just like the reading because it's the salt and the light.
I did love yesterday's readings.
And I'm like, oh, you got to season the world.
Why did you go to 6:30 a.m. Mass? Do you not like yourself?
I love myself. Because one of my children came down with a little
Lorelei,
strep.
So
I was like, well, I'm going to go to 6:30. So then the family can go to their,
sacrificial love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, it was good. It's good. Just a good reading.
Yeah.
As you said.
Alyssa, are you going to lead us into today's topic?
I would love to. It's one of those ones where we don't really know what we're talking about again.
It's going to be titled, Fire Me Up,
we
Jesus.
We know.
Fire Me Up, Jesus.
They don't know
Shana
yet.
Shana printed out this email. You need to tell Father Martin to take notes.
Yes.
About printing out emails ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, I think basically what our... We don't even have a goal, but what we wanted to discuss with each other this week was... what we refer to as the gospel, and many people refer to it as the gospel, but I think for so many of us, when we hear the word gospel, we think
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John,
right? Like, and even so, when someone first said the words the gospel to me, I was like, oh, which one? You know, as if there's more than one, which there are many gospels, books of the Bible, there are four, but there's one gospel story, there's one gospel message, which is in essence the saving message of Jesus Christ. And so I think what we're planning on doing, and we'll see how this plays out, but I want to present that to you, to you two in the room, and we've spoken about this before, but also to anyone who's listening, with the preface that the first time this was conveyed to me was after 3 years of walking with someone, and she sat down and said, I want to share something with you. So This is how it was presented to me, and it is something that continually I have to ask the Lord to present to me in prayer over and over again. So sure. I'm just going to share the story. Yeah, what do you have something to say?
I was going to say, should we go over like the five, or do you just want to just go with your story?
I think the story, you'll be able to tell that there are five kind of main points that are like bullet points in my head that are kind of like memorization tactics, but it truly is a story. And so, okay, so I'll start. I think the question that has to be asked first, amongst ourselves with this story, because this story is my story. It is your story who's listening. It is everyone's story. Okay. And the story starts with a question, and I think we have to be courageous enough to ask ourselves the question, what is the end to which I have been created? Like, what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing here? And so many of us, I think, forget that that is, or maybe we don't, that doesn't even cross our mind. But that is the first question, is what am I doing here? What is the purpose for my life? So if you haven't asked yourself that question, I challenge you to start there. But as Christians and as Catholics especially, we hold that the purpose of our life, the purpose of us being created human, is so that we would be in communion with God the Father. And when I say communion with God the Father, I'm not chalking it up as some like nice Christian view of things, right? That we should be with God in heaven, which is true, but it's more so like, this is made manifest by every innate desire that we have in life. It's the reason that you want friendships. It's the reason that you have a longing to be intimate with someone, whether it's romantically or platonically. Like, our bodies were physically made for others, right? And it all points back to this underlying truth, which is that we were made for another, namely God the Father. He made us by love, for love, for him, right? And to be in union with him. So you might have heard Father Martin say that before, that the point of life is communion. Like, that's what it is to be in relationship with one another. And so that is why we were created, is to be in union with God the Father. But the second part of this, and the more tragic part, is that he gives us this opportunity every single day, but so often... that relationship that we were created for, it's broken by our sin. It's broken by the sin in our life, by the way that we live our life. We see this first of all with Adam and Eve in the garden, right, where they have free will and they choose to sin against God. But that's not something that is like in the past that we say our first mother and father did, but it's something that every day continually, time and time again, is happening, that I will continue to turn in my fallen nature against this loving relationship that I have been made for. And so part of that is, like I mentioned with Adam and Eve, but one thing that's so important to note with this, and I think for so long I've had this backwards, is that we say that our relationship is broken, right? And if you're familiar with the terms venial sin and mortal sin, you know that mortal sin is something that separates us from God completely, right? And so that's why it's so important to, that's why we emphasize the sacrament of confession. That's why it's so important at the hour of our death. That's why this, the sacrament of anointing of the sick is a thing, right? It's so that whatever we do on earth, we might be reconciled back to the Father before we leave earth. And so this relationship that we are made for, it is never God looking down on us and with punishment. This separation is always something that I myself am choosing. And I think that's such an important distinction, because God is a loving Father and he longs to be with us. And sometimes the things that I do in my life blur my vision so much and blind me so much that I can no longer choose him freely. And that's where the separation comes in. And we've said this with the eighth graders before. I don't know if we mentioned it here, but like, sin doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a dead person. But there's good news in this, right? So this brings us to the next point, which is that although time and time again, you and I choose to be separated from God the Father through our actions, he sent himself into the world as one of us so that we might be reconciled back to him, which is utterly mind-blowing. And this is something that, it still doesn't make sense even as I'm saying it. And I hope it never does completely, but God, who is without body, who is not an old man up in the sky in the clouds, right? He is outside of space and time, and that is something utterly inexplicable. How are we to wrap our small human minds around that, right? He enters into our humanity and becomes one of us so that we might understand what it means to be in union with him, right? And so St. Catherine of Siena presents this beautiful image of this person, Jesus Christ, being the bridge that reconciles us back to the Father. And this this is such good news because it means that time and time again, when we do fall, we have someone to unite ourselves mm-hmm. to, someone to conform ourselves to and to be transformed into so that we might experience union with the Father.
Can I stop you?
Yes.
So you say that we are made for God the Father, which relationship with God the Father, which if you open your first few pages of your Bible, you're going to see that in the garden, like Adam and Eve were made to walk in the breezy time of day with God, and they were in relationship with him. Of course, they broke that. And we know really from Revelation that we've been cast out of the garden and we're no longer walking during the breezy time of day with God. Although that would be lovely, especially in the dead of winter. But how is it that in our lives, like, I feel that I am at variance with God? Does that make sense? Because I think a lot of people don't even feel like they're called into a relationship with God the Father. Like, that's not even on people's horizons right now.
Right. What do you mean at variance?
That something's not right. That my heart was made for more. Like, where is it that people will begin to feel this? Will they feel it?
Yeah. I can only... go ahead, Shana.
Oh, I was just going to say, when I feel like when you're not feeling that joy in what you're doing or in life, it's just the point where you just need to stop and look at everything you're doing and kind of, you know, see how you're budgeting your time. And seeing what part of this is making you happy, what is not. Is it time to maybe look for something different, something new that will kind of maybe work on your relationship with Jesus, bring you closer and see how that's making you feel?
Yeah, I agree. And I can only speak from my own story with this question, but I got to a point in my life where I was like, okay, either this is something I believe in or it's not. It can't be not like ancillary anymore. Like, it has to be everything or it is nothing. And that wasn't necessarily like a demand that was placed on me, but it was just like a burning dissatisfaction in my heart that like had to be answered. It's like, why am I so unsatisfied with the things that I'm doing? And this was when I was away from the church, away from God. And I think that question takes courage of like, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Like we talked about before, what are you actually desiring?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we give ourselves enough silence, like just 10 seconds of silence, the answer is going to be more always, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just get, because my heart goes out, you know, in this archdiocese, only about 20, a little bit more than 25% of people go to Mass on Sundays, which means 75% of Catholics don't feel as though like they need God. I mean, like that's in essence, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that they don't need to draw near to Him in any sort of profound way. So anyway, I just want to consider that like most people are content, seemingly content, with the status quo. You were made for more though. And I think what you're proposing, the story that you're proposing to really receive the gospel into your life, is to say that your life is going to have a lot more fullness than you're currently imagining. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So keep going.
Okay.
Finish the story. So
finish the story. God, okay. I'll wrap God it up. I'm sorry.
No, keep going. God the Father sends His Son
into the world
and reconciles us. Yeah.
Back to Him.
And I think just to clarify that, you know, we offended an infinite God. And that's like an offense that we can't make up on our own.
Right.
Only God can offer sort of the olive branch to us.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as the folks in the Old Testament worked to obtain righteousness and continue to walk steadfastly with their God, it never really added up until God sent His only begotten Son into the world. And Jesus was the one who was to reconcile us back to God, both as man, fully man, and fully God. Only He could do it.
Yeah. Right. And so the fact, that's the whole thing, is that He was both God and man. How else do you fill the void between God and man unless becoming God and man? But, or not becoming, begetting, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, so the person of Jesus Christ, right? He comes into the world, so that we might know God the Father, know what it means to be in love, to be loved by God the Father. But all of this to say, right, so this is a really nice story, but what does it mean for me right now in my life? I'm not in the Old Testament. I'm not in the garden with Adam and Eve. Like, what does this have to do when I'm running kids to practices and attending Sunday Mass and doing things in suburban St. Louis, right? Like, it means that we are presented with an invitation to put this person at the center of our lives, this God-man. God has become a human, and not just to save our sins, but to be in relationship with us, as aforementioned. And so, we cannot hear this story and not see ourselves as presented with a choice. So each and every day when I get up in the morning, I have the choice as to whether or not I want to put this person, Jesus Christ, at the center of my life. And how often I choose not to, right? Which brings us back to the part where I sin, right? But what it means, if I could just paint a picture of what it means to have Jesus at the center of your life, like if you imagine for a moment all of the things that you have going on in your life. So for me, like, I'm a part of my life. I have my family. I have the people I work with. I have my job. And I love to play sports. And so I have that. And I have hobbies. And if you imagine, like, a flow chart of how this works, what is the thing that is in the middle that is driving all of it? And for a majority of my life, I was in the middle. I was in the middle. And the idea of God and church was like this far off, drawn away line that was connected to me, but is very an ancillary part. But when we spoke about conforming our lives to Christ, what that means is that there's a reorientation of all of our priorities so that it is no longer I in the center of everything, but Christ is in the center of it. And everything that I'm doing in my life is through the lens of Him. And this is the invitation that He presents to us. It's a life of adventure and freedom and relationship with Him. And He gives us the freedom to say no because He loves us so much. But if you think about that, like, what would happen if you said yes? Like, if you today decided, man, I want to put Jesus at the center of my life, I think that would begin to change a lot of things for myself as well. And then the final kind of tail end of the story is that should we say yes and should we choose to put Christ at the center of our life in a radical way, we are invited to then live our lives as a response to that love that we have received, which will ultimately look like vibrant life in the church. And not just going to church, I mean, but seeing the world through a Catholic worldview and through a more vibrant way, more vibrant lens. And yeah, it will wreck everything. It will literally wreck everything. So this is the story, and this is the challenge, is that we're invited to put Christ at the center of our lives.
Yeah, and even when you start speaking about, like, the way you're living sans God, you know, without God, you basically the way you were describing it is, especially as a single person, I'm doing these activities, these jobs, these whatever, these friends, because I want to, and there it's all done for me. So you see basically, like, it's a closed circuit around the me monster, you know. What happens oftentimes when people are called to, like, intimate relationships with spouses is that you realize I'm no longer living on my own for my own, but I have to take care of this other person. So the closed circuit opens a little bit. And then oftentimes people have children and the circuit opens even more, and they have to live for other people. That could still be totally devoid of God, honestly. But regardless of God's there or not, I think oftentimes, and this is how you know, there is something that unites us because of our common parents, Adam and Eve. We're constantly looking to take back what's ours. Like, as soon as we've been called to live a generous life, we're always looking for opportunities to put ourselves number one. And that's where, like, life in Christ makes a difference, because Jesus has the law. Jesus instructs us to love our enemies. And it'd be easy, you know, to love the people around you, love your family, but, like, Jesus instructs us to love our enemies, so that everybody in our life is called to be loved in a really eminent way. And there's this part of my heart that says, absolutely not, like, that revolts against that. Like, I'm going to look after me. I'm going to take care of my own. I think so often we're trying to take back the generosity that the Lord has called us to. And it corrupts our heart. And in the end, it leaves us unsatisfied.
I think when I think about, like, how Alyssa put it out, and, like, who's at the center of your life, most of the times, you know, talking from the married with kids perspective, it's going to be my kids and my husband. Those kind of go back and forth on who's in the middle. But a good way to look at this is, I don't know how long ago, Alyssa asked me a question, like, how do you love your husband and Jesus at the same time?
That's not telling. I don't know what it is.
And I said, I don't have an answer for that. And so from there, I kind of took that question and just kept thinking about it. I'm like, how is it possible to love Jesus and your husband or your boyfriend and your kids or at the same time? You can't find it on Google. I looked. It's definitely not there. So just kind of praying on that and trying to figure out, man, I have to help the single lady understand that she can love Jesus and her husband or boyfriend at the same time. And so after some thought, I think it really came to me that, you know, I try so hard to put Jesus at the center And if my husband or my children don't understand a relationship with Jesus, it's going to be really hard to love them at the same time without, you know, somebody like feeling left out. So at that point, I realized that you have to invite those people to love Jesus as much as you do. And, you know, it can be your husband, it could be your friend, it could be your family. But just say, hey, you know, this is important. He should be at the center. And like I tell my kids, I think maybe it was a homily that Father Andrew gave you, like, who loves you the most? You know, Jesus does. It's not me. Jesus will always love you. Like, I love you so much, but Jesus and God will love you so much more. And you just have to remember that through your life, because times will get tough. But if you put him at the center, you'll always have that person that you know loves you unconditionally and will lead you to a good path. I hope that wasn't a bad memory to bring up on that.
I'm just going to filter everything I ever want to ask you now. Nothing is safe.
That's not a bad question. It made me think about my relationships.
And it was not rhetorical. It was, I was actually.
No, I know. That's why it took me a long, long time. I never even told you I had an answer. But
the other thing, like within this story, is that like it replays time and again in my life. Like you think, oh, Father's converted. Like he's totally on board. He's done this 5-step program and he's like at the end. And it's like, no. Like I've got my own sins, and like that's my own brokenness and separation from God the Father. Like so long as I sin, like I break communion. It may not be mortal, but it's certainly not God's will for me or for the people in my life that I would do that. So like nobody is ever beyond the gospel. It applies to the prisoner who's committed horrendous crimes. It applies to a child who's lying to his parents. It applies to married people who are faithful or unfaithful but still struggle in their marriages. And it applies to priests. Like nobody is outside of this message. And that's why like the life with God, it will have a beginning, but it has no end. Like you're called to communion at a certain point. It's basically your conception. But for your entire life, this gospel story is going to be replayed in the particularities of your life, in all of the places that God has put you, and in so many of your relationships.
Yeah. I think what's so hopeful about that too, and what gets me fired up, is that like even becoming aware of my own wretchedness and like just the tendencies I have and the things that I'm prone to, that aren't good for me, that aren't good for other people, it's like it is sinful insofar as it pulls me away from the Lord, but like the mercy that is received therein is there's nothing to describe it. And I know I'm talking about things that other people have experienced, but what accompanies mercy, authentic mercy, is conversion, is transformation. It's like, I love you and I'm going to give you this further gift, this thing that you don't deserve. But I don't desire you to stay in your ways. Like I don't desire you to stay with me as this exterior part of your life that is convenient for you. I don't desire to stay ancillary to you as this foreign object that is only convenient for you when it's convenient for you. And I think that comes back to like our own view of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah, and that's why we need to invite people to open up the scriptures and sit down and especially read the stories of the calls of the apostles. That they're called from their place, their humdrum life in the world, and they're going to be asked to follow Jesus. And some of them, you will see their betrayals of him, like, before you in the story of the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But those Gospels are the Gospels according to Jesus, like the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And he's inviting us into his story. But you're going to see them play it out, and we can insert ourselves into their place, what it looks like to leave something behind and to cling to Jesus, to allow him to be our teacher, and our Lord. Also, can I just say, and this is a, like, it's a bit of a soapbox. I've Bishop Barron, I know, has spoken about this sort of thing, his coming of age in the church and like the preaching that he heard on Sundays. And I resonate because the priest that was at my parish, you know, trained in the 70s, it was just a certain brand of the gospel. And I found that, like, it was devoid of the name Jesus. It was devoid of his story. It was maybe focused on the cross, maybe. But you're, at the end of the day, I think so often Catholics miss Jesus, okay? He's not even there. So to use his name is a little bit foreign, and to expect anything from him is totally out of the ordinary. And so when I say, when we speak about Jesus as the hinge of this gospel message and that we're invited to into a relationship with them, with him, we don't even know where to go with that information. I was talking to a guy the other day who says, I know I'm supposed to be close to Jesus and I pray to him, but I don't see him as a living being. I see him as an icon that's like static. And I'm like, I tell this man, I said, look, and he's praying for faith. And he says, I'm actually sorry, I don't have the faith I want to have. And I'm telling him, like, look, You're seeing something now. There's like this beautiful desire in your heart, and I promise you, God's going to show you like the living Jesus. Mm. Like what's on your heart right now is such a strong desire, and it wasn't put there by you; it was put there by God. And God's going to show you a living face, and the face of Jesus, such that you can live, and move and have your being in Him. But if Jesus is just contained into like a dusty old Bible, if Jesus is just contained in what happens on Sunday, then like he's useless. And I think so often in our Catholic parishes, like we need to be, first of all, talking about Jesus, because he's like the reason it all matters. But also I think people need to understand what's on offer. That Jesus isn't just this pie in the sky dude who's like kind of whatever news. He's like a living person who saves us from our sins and is the promise that God wants us in heaven forever. Man. But I really think there's sometimes, and I'll fault priests on it, like I think Catholics today don't even know what's on offer because they were never told on Sundays.
Right. Yeah, I remember even growing up too, going through PSR, and that's a whole another topic of conversation. But the image of who Jesus was that was presented to me, and these words were never said, but like through my catechesis or like schooling on Catholicism and Christianity, it was an old man in the sky that sat on the clouds with a long white beard, who was white. That was God the Father.
Yeah.
And then a young man in a robe, that was his son, who was God. So it was like young God. Jesus was young God.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit.
And he was wearing socks with his sandals. Like, what's up with that, Jesus?
Come on, Jesus. It was the times. Oh my gosh. And then the Holy Spirit was quite literally a bird, which was nice. But yeah, it remained a bird. Pretty and there were three bird. Separate persons, none of which were accurately represented as to who they are and like what their purpose was in my life. And I get my intellect wasn't fully formed, but my goodness, we have to do better than a man in the sky.
Like that's part of like the spirit, like that in some ways, that's the main thrust of what I pray about every day, that each day, like my vision of who God is purified a little bit more. Like I get a better sense of what it means that God the Father provides for me. I get a better sense of what it means for Jesus to heal and redeem parts of my heart that stink, you know. I get a sense of what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to give me the gifts that make me the person that he wants me to be. And not that God is here to fix me, because in essence, he's not. But relationships transform us. Like Shayna is not the same person 13 years after your marriage as you were on your wedding day.
Yes.
Like that relationship has transformed you. Mm-hmm. And that's what a life with God does as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like to look at everyone's relationship with Jesus, but I have to share because I think I've kind of finally realized my relationship. And, you know, it was amazing. I just, maybe I can't share right now.
Do it. Father Andrew, hand her your snotty handkerchief so she can dry her tears.
No. I just have to collect. Okay. Quick story. I like that no one's looking at me. That's helpful. Okay. Jesus, help me. So I think my relationship with Jesus really just within the past couple months, like I finally realized that I had a part of my heart open for him and that I just wanted him to come in fully. And I came to this realization, it's been, 4 years now since my father's death, and that was kind of, you know, if you've heard my story, that was the part where I just had my reconversion and was ready to try this Catholic thing all over again. And it wasn't until a couple months ago that I saw that I had this open part in my heart for a father. And that's what, and just at this point, I just saw everything in like a whole light. That now that my father, who is my father on earth, has passed, I now can fill it with my father who is up in heaven. And now, no, my dad and I, he wasn't always the best father, but I just heard him saying to me, like, have Jesus fill that hole where I was. So now I look at adoration as a whole different thing. And sometimes when I'm having a hard day and I'll just say, hey, you know what? I just need to have time with Jesus. I just know that he's there with his arms open and that I could just tell him the problems I'm having. But so just a little bit more emotional because I had a grandparent pass away and her funeral was this weekend. And I had a chance to go see my father's grave for, like, I think the second time since he's passed, and just to have that quiet time with him and just kind of thank him for everything. And it was also special because I had a chance to travel to Fredericktown with my mom, so that was a good 2-hour drive, and we could just catch up, and it was good to hear stories about when they were together and I was a baby, and because I don't get to hear many of those, but... Mm-hmm. Just to have that time to spend with her and just share the love I have with her. And I could just talk to her about Jesus. I'm sure she loves to hear that I'm talking about her right now. But I think that was just the moment in my relationship where Jesus just really turned as to like a father that I could really just look to and talk to when times get tough, when times are happy, and just give that thankfulness. But hopefully not everyone's story is as tragic as that relationship. But it feels good to share.
Yeah. And like, that is the gospel. Like, that could not have been more perfect for you to share right now. Because it doesn't happen within a vacuum. Like, it's not just something that's meant to stay on this podcast or stay, like, within the confines of your Bible. Like, it is meant to encounter, like, Christ encounters you in your brokenness. And that was a perfect example of that. Yeah. Through unfortunate circumstances, but that, yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I was like, nobody can follow that. Okay, now we're done. No, just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but thank you. Thank you for sharing. Because it is like this. This is what it's all about. Is that like the Lord wants to transform our hearts, and He wants to fulfill what's lacking in our human relationships, because the people around us are amazing. Hopefully. But nonetheless, like, there's something left that only God can fill. And He's, like, really starting to do that in your heart. And it's just so cool to watch.
I could really use a tissue now.
I bet you wish you had a handkerchief.
Sure do.
All right. Well, thank you again, Shayna. But I think we've come to a rightful conclusion. The week ahead, what do you guys got going on? Got any sparks?
We're doing sparks.
Okay. Alyssa, go.
This weekend is our Luke 18 weekend at St. Clair VCC, which means that a lot of eighth graders who are receiving the Sacrament of Confirmation come May are going to be on a weekend-long retreat led by the high schoolers. So it's going to be a ton of fun. And please pray for us. So if you hear this on Friday when it comes out, it will be that weekend, that Saturday and Sunday.
Really start praying then.
Yeah, really start praying then when we're on campus here. So that's my spark. I'm very edified by the faith of young people. So I'm very excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's my spark.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think one thing that it's part of like what we're talking about today, and one thing that I've been praying a lot about, and it's just like it's one thing that just get right now is getting me going to pray with, is like purifying my vision of God the Father, like who He is. More recently, I like really, and I think part of it is just hanging out with younger parents, a lot of my friends who have become parents in recent years, and seeing both their wisdom and their like just profound love, especially the dads. And I do often think of God as an old man who is providential, who cares, but is often distant, and sort of like we talk about a watchmaker God. Maybe you've heard this, that like God is a watchmaker who makes the watch, makes the world, sets it in motion, and then leaves it. And I think I fall into that small trap of seeing God the Father that way. But I'm like trying to envision God the Father as like a 32-year-old like dad. And that looks a lot different. He's a lot more active and He's a lot more involved in my life that way. It also sets me at a younger age when I can't take care of myself and I really have to look to Him to help me. So I'm praying a lot about that, and it's sort of getting me fired up. So which I'm excited about.
Spark. That's a good spark.
Fired up. I think I... my spark is going to be, I'm going to start something new. It's called the Fiat 90.
You are doing it.
So if you don't know what this is kind of just like streamlining your life of fasting between meals, like 3 meals a day, no alcohol, no TV, media. No social media, unless it's for work, no eating out.
You decided, huh?
I decided.
I've been going solo.
Unless someone listens to this and wants to join me.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be the first week, I think, will be tough, but.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason it's called Fiat 90 is so that all, like, the goal of discipline is freedom, right? So that that you are more free by disciplining your life in this way. You're more free to give your fiat, like to give your yes to things that yes. are of God and of recreation.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll help me work on my prayer life, because you have to make sure that, you know, you're putting an hour to prayer every day. And
wow,
it's just something I need some help with. So Jesus, lead me.
Jesus, lead
help
you.
Me, Mary. So, yep.
Beautiful. Amazing. Well, prayers for you.
That's it.
You yeah. persevere.
It's going to be a big week, I think, for us.
The thing is, with that sort of thing, like, it's going to be difficult. It, like, don't let it, can't let it make you miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to call you out if you get yep. that way and say, okay.
And we'll be able to tell, because you're never not happy.
Yeah. but, like, the goal of this sort of discipline and sacrifices, really, mm-hmm. is that you'd be more free to love and to be joyful. So
yep.
if you're not that way,
then we'll know that you should not do this.
We're gonna yeah, to watch you will judge them. On yeah. the podcast.
You will judge them by their fruits, and not. We need you joyful.
Yes. So.
Thanks, well, Shayna.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I think that's a wrap. Jesus.
Right. See you next time.
Fires up.